Well, we are continuing our sermon series through Numbers 12, 13, and 14. We'll be working our way through a couple of chapters. But today's passage, we get to conclude what was something of a cliffhanger last week, in last week's sermon. So if you want to turn in your copy of God's Word to Numbers chapter 12. We're going to begin where we read last week, at verse 1, and read through the end of the passage, verse 16. So hear now God's word. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her, please." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again." So Miriam was shut outside the camp 7 days, and the people did not set out on the march till Miriam was brought in again. After that, the people set out from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. This is God's word. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Lord, even as we thank you for the wonderful meal that we have just enjoyed, Lord, all good gifts come from you. And we thank you for the words of life, for the food of your word. And we pray, O Lord, that you would feed us through it now. Feed us even with the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, this passage, as you listen to it and you read it, is kind of a sobering passage, isn't it? Here we see Miriam and Aaron grumbling against the servant of the Lord, their cousin or their brother, Moses. And the Lord hears and comes down and rebukes them for it. And then his presence leaves. And then Miriam is left now with, left covered in leprosy. The anger of the Lord, we're told in this passage, was kindled against Miriam and Aaron. And we see the impact of that kindled anger. It's a sobering passage. And it reminds us of the seriousness with which God takes sin. It reminds us of the holiness of God. But in this passage, what I want us to see today is that we see God's mercy. God's mercy is really shown in this passage. We see God's mercy first in God's discipline. We see that God's discipline, even when severe, is an act of his mercy. And in verse 10, we see Miriam is covered in leprosy. So God's discipline here for Miriam is leprosy. Now, what is leprosy? It's It's a skin disease, and when you've got leprosy, your skin is this kind of is covered in this or it becomes kind of ashen white, and it's a disease that actually eats your skin, and can lead to death. Why did God afflict Miriam with leprosy? Well, leprosy was a humbling mark for Miriam's proud presumption. You might remember that later in Israel's history, King Uzziah goes into the temple saying, "I'm the king, well, why can't I, you know, make sacrifices like the priests?" And so he presumes to take that for himself, and walks into the temple. And no sooner does he walk in and that he walks out afflicted now with leprosy. Leprosy is a very humbling, it's a humbling mark. Maybe, I can remember being in middle school and waking up and you look at your face in the mirror and I see acne, on my face, and I'm kind of mortified and I don't want to, go face my classmates because the embarrassment of this, physical mark. Well, Miriam was covered, right, in this deadly leprosy. It brings a real humbling. But what's the purpose of this discipline? It's the purpose, the God's purpose in this discipline is his purpose in all the discipline that he gives to the children he loves. It's to bring her to repentance. God is seeking through this discipline to bring Miriam and Aaron both to repentance. Think about the words of the psalmist, Psalm 119, 67. The psalmist says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." Before I was afflicted, I went astray. There's something about affliction. When God disciplines you with affliction, it has an effect on you. It wakes you up. You may be headed out of your foolishness or blindness in your sin in a certain direction. And the Lord sometimes wakes you up with his discipline. But that discipline is meant to lead you to repentance so that you can live in the life that he has called you to. And fellowship, enjoy the fellowship of God. And we see this effect on Aaron, don't we? What happens? When he looks at Miriam, he sees the leprosy, he responds, "Oh, my Lord," turning to Moses, "do not punish us because we've done foolishly and have sinned." So right away, he realizes his sin. He realizes the seriousness of their pride and their presumption. And he acknowledges it. Right, confesses it. We've acted foolishly and we have sinned. He's also now displaying a new humility. Notice how he addresses Moses. He says, "Oh, my Lord." He calls Moses his Lord. So, just moments ago, he's saying, "Who made you the top dog around here?" Right? And now he says, "Oh, Lord, my Lord, right, Master Moses, please have mercy on us." Right, the Lord affects that humility through his discipline. See, this demonstrates God's mercy and his love. This is what the writer in Hebrews says, isn't it? It says, "My son, don't despise the discipline of the Lord, right? Nor be weary when reproved by him, for he disciplines those whom he loves. He chastens those that he receives." So, if you are being disciplined by the Lord, don't be discouraged. Know that the Lord loves you. You are his child. So we see God's mercy here in the discipline. But we also see God's mercy in the mediator. So Aaron turns to Moses and asks Moses to have mercy on them. He says, let Miriam not be as one who's dead when it comes out of the womb. And so what does Moses do? Moses immediately, he goes to the Lord pleading for her. "Oh, God, please heal her, please." Now, what would you expected Moses to have done in that situation? Imagine that you're a pastor or you're a leader in a business, and some some people who are under you, maybe some workers underneath you, begin grumbling, complaining, and speaking against you, right, and trying to usurp your position. And then they're afflicted. You know, what's the natural response of the flesh? you're getting what you deserve, right? That's what you get. And you can sit in that a little while and learn your lesson. But no, that's not what Moses does. Right? He turns immediately to the Lord and pleads for her. But this doesn't just display the merciful nature of Moses, but this actually displays the mercy of God. Because who is Moses? Moses is the servant chosen by the Lord. That's what we were looking at last week. The Lord chooses a servant to lead Israel. And who does he choose? He chooses a man of meek character, right? Who's not looking for vengeance, but will turn. And we see throughout this journey in the wilderness, Moses constantly interceding for his people. You know, it's not as if, you know, God is the mean guy up there who just, you know, hates these Israelites, and it's good that Moses is there, you know, kind of quelling God's anger. But Moses chooses a man who demonstrates mercy and acts as a mediator because God himself is a God of mercy. And in choosing Moses, what is God doing? As we saw in Hebrews, God is choosing a servant who's going to reflect the coming Son, our Lord Jesus, who's the great mediator. And here we see, right, we see the mercy of Christ pictured. And we see it pictured. Think of Christ on the cross as he's being crucified by sinners, by the very people that he himself has made. And what does he do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus pleading for sinners, pleading for those who have sinned against him. That's the Lord. But and notice also the character of Moses's plea in this passage. Moses says, "Oh God, please heal her, please." You see the earnestness in that plea? That word "please" is actually a Hebrew interjection, so it's more like an "Oh, please, oh Lord, right? Heal her, heal her." There's an earnestness in Moses. He's not looking, "Okay, I'm going to be merciful here. Okay, God, you can heal her. Right, I approve." No, he's pleading for her, and that shows us something of the Savior. That's the character of Jesus' intercession for you. And Romans says, Jesus, right, is now, even now, interceding for us. When he was on earth, what we read just a little earlier, right, he prayed. He made prayers and supplications with loud groans and cries. Right? He looked at Jerusalem and wept for Jerusalem. Right? He prayed in the garden for his disciples. He interceded with groans and cries. So when you're struggling with sin, your Savior is interceding for you with that same earnestness now. The Spirit of Christ is interceding with groans that are too deep even for words. Oh Lord, right, restore them. Restore this brother. Restore this sister, this daughter, this son. We see the mercy of God here in the mediator. But lastly, we see the Lord's mercy displayed in the process of Miriam's restoration. So the Lord responds to her, responds to Moses' pleas. And we see verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again." Now, this maybe might seem a little harsh at first. On the one hand, God is showing, right, the seriousness with which he takes sin, right, the seriousness of sin before a holy God. But notice the illustration that he uses. Right? If her father had done this, so she'd not be shamed 7 days. Well, I am her heavenly father. Right? The Lord is reminding, even here, that Miriam is his daughter. He is her heavenly father. But he says, let her be put outside the camp 7 days. Now, we've looked at over the weeks 1 Corinthians 10 when Paul is referencing this wilderness journey, unhappy wilderness journey in many ways. And he says these things happened as examples to them. And he says they were written down for our instruction. But when God was doing these things to his people, he was acting in ways, he was doing things that were examples to the people. So what was God demonstrating to the people here when he said Miriam should be shut out 7 days? Well, first, he's teaching them, he's giving them a reminder that sin often has consequences. And even when the Lord extends his forgiveness immediately, sometimes we have to deal with the consequences of our sin for a time. And yet, what does he say? She's to be put out for 7 days. But after 7 days, let her be brought back in. Even the consequences of our sin, if you are in Christ, are never permanent. No matter how much you could wreck your life with your sin, God, if you are in Christ, God will bring you to full restoration. And so God is teaching that sometimes there's consequences of her sin, but he is always bringing us back, bringing his children back to full restoration. This also teaches us that the sin of one person in the body has an effect on the whole body. This reminds us of the solidarity of the body of Christ. And it teaches us how to look at other brothers and sisters who are struggling with sin. How do you view someone in the church who's been struggling with sin? Do you look at them and say, well, I'm glad that's not me, right? Here we see that the sin of one affects the whole body. When you have back pain, right, when one part of your body is injured, your whole body is affected, isn't it? And so it is with the body of Christ. Notice that that as she's put outside the camp for the 7 days, the camp doesn't move. But even in that, there's mercy and love shown in that. Right, they don't leave Miriam behind and say, okay, well, you know, she's got issues, but we're going to keep going ahead. No. Right? They say, we're going to wait along with this sister as she is, as God is dealing with her sin. And then they receive her back in. You remember Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, and he says, don't overwhelm this brother who sinned greatly with excessive sorrow. Otherwise, he may become discouraged, but rather receive him in love. And that's what we see here. Miriam is received back into fellowship. lastly, why is Miriam shut out for 7 days? And what does this teach us? Well, it reminds us that sin causes separation from God, that sin cannot be in the presence of a holy God. See, leprosy was kind of a picture, a visual picture of the of spiritual uncleanness. The uncleanness of your skin kind of provided in the Old Testament for the people a visual picture of spiritual uncleanness. And God says that uncleanness has to be removed from my holy presence. And so she's put outside the camp. But as again, we've seen, she's brought back into the presence of God. How is God able to bring in sinners who are burdened by sin, who are unclean, made unclean. God brings her back, and he commands her to be brought back in after 7 days, because he has made us clean by himself, by sending his son to become unclean. What did God do? God said, bring my people into my presence, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to come, and I'm going to take that uncleanness, the uncleanness of that sin, and I'm going to put it on myself. What did Aaron said to Moses? He said, Lord, do not punish us. Well, the Hebrew there is, do not lay the sin upon us. See, sin is a burden, and that burden makes us unclean. But Jesus came down, as the prophet Isaiah said, and he took the burden of our iniquities upon his own shoulders. Christ became as one unclean, and he was shut outside the camp. That's why the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus was crucified outside the camp, so that you could be brought into the camp, clean, pure, and holy, and enjoy the fellowship of God. This is the mercy of God, and his word shows us this is the love, this is the amazing love of the merciful God. This is what he has done for sinners. And this is how he treats his children, because he loves them. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you that you are abounding in steadfast love. We thank you that you are abounding in mercy. We thank you that you love your children. We thank you that you loved Miriam, that you loved her enough, you loved Aaron enough to discipline them, and that you loved them in your mercy. Lord, you provided a way for them to be restored, that you provided a way for us to be restored to you through the Lord Jesus. And we pray that by his Spirit, Lord, you would help us to rejoice in that salvation and to walk, Lord, in the newness of life to which we've been called. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.